today on Real Radio.
Man, you think you work hard all day at work, you go home just long enough to eat, shower, sleep, to go back to that grindstone again. You can totally have victory and rise above all that stuff when you hand that stuff over to Jesus. He says, listen, give that to me. He says, and I will give you rest. That's a promise of God written in red letters. I will give you rest. Take it up. He's got to give it to you. He won't withhold it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How Does God Love? Part 2, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah was the 8th century BC Jewish prophet for whom the book of Isaiah was named. His prophetic book is unmatched in scope and covers common prophetic themes of coming judgment, as well as Israel's future restoration. Isaiah also focused a lot of attention on the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 30, we saw how love, by nature, is sacrificial. God loves us so much, He willfully humbled Himself to the point of sacrificing His life for us. It's why He refuses to tolerate sin and rebellion in our lives. Many Christians are taking advice from the world or relying upon their wealth instead of God. Others are trusting in powers that are not from God. They think they're doing well, but they're being deceived. Only the true believer who seeks the Lord's counsel will be blessed by Him. Now we'll continue in Isaiah chapter 30 and see how God loves us by giving us His truth. So today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that it's verses from Scripture that will give us strength. When we have to endure trouble for speaking God's truth from the Bible, it's the Bible that will bring us a quietness and a calmness. And it's God's love that will give us peace. And now continuing his lesson called How Does God Love? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The way, there's no other way. Pretty narrow. Truth, there is no other truth. And life, he's the only one that gives life. And before those three descriptions of him, it's the definite article the that's very fun because it means he is the one and only way, the one and only truth, the one and only life. Amen. You say, man, this is narrow. Hallelujah. Yes, because only one died on the cross. It only took one who was put into the grave and rose again on Sunday morning from the dead. It only takes one. It's not a package deal. It's not a group effort. It's not a Groupon. He did it, and you agree with him or you don't. I highly recommend you do, but he did it. But watch out when people say, get off that path and don't talk to us about the Holy One of Israel. Look at your Bible. You look in your Bible. It's 2,740-year-old statement in your Bible. Look. What's the name of the Holy One of where? Israel. Is that on a globe? Is that on a map somewhere? Wow. It's bizarre, man. There's such a huge, fast-growing persecution against Christians today in America. And sometimes I wonder if the biggest persecuting block is those that would call themselves Christians, you know? Because if you want to get in trouble, go to a church and open up the Bible and start, So we don't use the Bible here. I was at a church in Europe. So where's your Bibles? Oh, this year we're using this book. So, are you kidding me? No wonder why your country's all messed up. That's crazy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out. Christian, just be ready. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound or right biblical doctrine, teaching, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. Think of it. Man, my ears are just itching for something. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Just tell us a story. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. Why? Because of the truth. Why are you going to be afflicted? because of the truth. You're going to be attacked if you stand for the truth. A friend of mine made statement on his website this week. He has a pretty prolific website. Decided to do something, made a statement, and he underestimated the retaliation. And he said, "Look what's happening to me." I said, "Well, hey, welcome to my world. This is great. I read the thing. Fantastic. This is it. It's either truth you're pursuing or it's fables. It's either I feel or God has said. And we choose." Verses 12 to 14, this is the reply of the Holy One of Israel. So now God speaks. "Because you have despised what I tell you and trusted instead in oppression and lies, calamity will come upon you suddenly." Notice, God's not, church, listen everyone, God did not cause this. He said, "Because you wouldn't listen to me, this is now coming to you." Does everyone hear that? Yeah. Like a bulging wall that bursts and falls, in an instant it will collapse and come crashing down. You will be smashed like a piece of pottery, shattered so completely that there won't be a piece big enough to carry coals from a fireplace or a little water from the well. That's exactly what happened to the nation of Israel. And they, at the rejection of Jesus Christ in 32 AD, they were dispersed throughout all the nations of the world, weren't they? For 2,000 years, they were driven out to the ends of the earth. Fulfilling, by the way, the prophecy of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Remarkable. But God said both in Deuteronomy 28, and God has said throughout the Bible, right before I come back, I'll bring all your remnant back out of all the nations of the world, and I will bring them back into the land that I've promised them. And there they are today. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Number three, look at verses 15 to 26. He loves by leaving a door open. He loves by leaving a door open to us. Listen to verse 15. It's so precious. And again, I just for simplicity, out of the New Living Translation for this one versus the King James. "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says: only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength." That's a memory verse right there, is it not? Wow. Listen, think, pause, listen for yourself. How you doing? How's your life? Does your thoughts please God? Do your fingers please the Lord? What your eyes view, are they acceptable? Can you take Jesus everywhere you go? How are you doing? Can you hand Jesus your laptop? Can he go with you tomorrow all day and all night? Let me ask you this question. Where have you been? You say, "Pastor, I don't want to talk about it." That's why we want to talk about it. Where have you been? Not good. Okay. We get that. Look what he says to you. Return. Isn't he amazing? If he were like us, we would say, "This is what the Sovereign Jack says." Fry. Thank God. He's the Lord. He's sovereign. He's the Holy One of Israel. And he says, "Return to me. Return to me." That's the only place, church, that you'll find what he says here. Rest. Shalom. Oh, shalom. Peace for your soul. How much peace? So much peace. When you just settle into him, there's a salvation that he affords that nobody can. And isn't it amazing that the God of the universe says that he wants you to live in quietness and in confidence? That's your strength. How beautiful is that? Quietness, that peace, that strength. This is the word of the Lord. "Only in returning and resting will you be saved," he says. Jeremiah 3, verse 21 says, "A voice was heard in the desolate heights, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Verse 22, return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Listen, Chino Hills, where are you from? Yorba Linda, Anaheim, Pomona, Chino, Diamond Bar, where are you from? Oh, return. Return from your backslidings. Come back. Believer, come home to the Lord. And he'll heal you. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. That's what the world does. The world yokes us up to burden some stuff, right? The world. We're pulling the load of finance, or they're pulling the load of issues and of, man, you think you work hard all day at work, you go home just long enough to eat, shower, sleep, to go back to that grindstone again, and it's ugly, and the people, it's mean, and people are ugly, and I don't mean ugly looking. They may be, but that's not what I meant. I meant they're just like, argh. You know, it's like, what are you doing this for? Hey, listen, you know what? You can totally have victory and rise above all that stuff when you hand that stuff over to Jesus. He says, listen, give that to me. Because my yoke, my load is not like that. Look what he says. He says, and I will give you rest. That's a promise of God written in red letters. I will give you rest. Take it up. He's got to give it to you. He won't withhold it. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You need a rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. Revelation 2, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. I love this. Or else I will come quickly and remove the lampstand from its place unless you repent. When he says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, he's speaking to the church at Ephesus. He says to repent and go back to your first works. Look at me, everybody. First works. Watch me. Here it is. First works. What do I do? First works. Here it is. What is that? Yeah. Rhett, you just looking in the eyes of Jesus. Remember when you first came to the Lord, it was just Jesus. You weren't all messed up. It was just Jesus. Then you get on the internet. Then you read some dumb blog somewhere. Then you read some book. No, listen. It's Jesus. He wrote you a book. Okay? Face, book. Face in the book. And it's the first works. Ah. The first works are amazing, because when you're in love, you do all kinds of things and none of it's work. I love you. I love you too. Can you pick the car up and bring it over here for me? Sure. Right? When you're in love and you're crazy? You have like $2 in your pocket and she wants a $10 pizza. It's okay. I'll get it. It doesn't matter. It's amazing. That's how Jesus wants it with us. You don't unfurl 20 rules today. Okay, Lord, what do I need to do to make you happy? That's sick. That's weird. Not with God. No, God says, repent and go back to your first works. Be in love with me all over again. Verse 15, but you would not, well, you'd have none of it. And you said, nope, we will get our help from Egypt. Oh, gosh. We'll get our help from the UN. They will give us swift horses for riding into battle. Oh boy. But the only, listen to what God says, but the only swiftness you're going to see is the swiftness of your enemies chasing you. Wow. Oh my goodness. Could that be true? You don't follow God, you decide to do your own thing, and then the whole thing flips and turns about. Verse 17, one of them will chase 1,000 of you. Five of them will make all of you flee. You will be like a lonely flagpole on a hill or a tattered banner on a distant mountaintop. That's serious. Wow. I listen, you guys, put this first picture up. many of you have been to the White House in the last 5 years? Raise your hands. More of you should go, but you guys, I'm old, but I'm not that old. There was a time when I was an actual adult, and you could walk up Pennsylvania Avenue and stand in front of the White House before September 11th. Okay, if you go to the White House now, this is what you see. You want to know why? Because one of them has caused 100 of us to flee in fear. Next slide. Welcome to the Capitol building. You got to go through so much security. Let me tell you, Washington, D.C. is an armed, blockaded city. One of the times I was there, in fact, Congressman Miller took me there. It was the same day I did the opening prayer for Congress. There were armored personnel carriers out in front of the Capitol building and the White House. You know how embarrassing that looks? I mean, I thought I was in Moscow or something. Seriously, it's like, what is this? There's guys like this, and they're looking at you like this. I'm an American with a U.S. congressman going to go pray at Congress to open up the Congress. And they're looking at us in the car. And they're like this, and they got the armored personnel carrier. Why? Because one terrorist can cause 1,000 of us to run in fear. When did that happen? God told Israel, you follow me, and I will put the fear of you in all the nations of the earth. You reject me, and you will be scared of every other nation on earth. America, listen, America kept the peace in the world because the world feared us. George Washington and Ronald Reagan echoed it, peace through strength. If you're strong enough, there'll be peace because nobody walks up to a big guy and punches them in the nose. Every guy knows that. If you're strong enough, there'll be no wars. Weakness breeds war. That is a fact. And Washington's a walled city. And look at this prophecy. You follow me, it's going to be good. You don't follow me, one of them will cause or chase 1,000 of you. Two lunatics in San Bernardino will cost your county hundreds of millions of dollars and make world news and shut down your economy. Six of us in Paris will mar that country forever. Think of it. The list goes on. Isn't it amazing? Look at that verse. It's verse 17. It's prophetic. Absolutely amazing. Listen, church. 2,740-year-old prophecy. Sounds like it's tomorrow's newspaper. Isn't that amazing? What's the bottom line? What's the takeaway with this? Follow God. Obey God. Your life will be blessed. See, Jack, but the nation's messed up. The nation is messed up. But listen, you follow God, your life will be blessed. Yeah, but what if the election, or what if Congress, what if Sacramento? Listen, those. Listen, you follow God, your life will be blessed. We've enjoyed for 260 years national blessings. Those days are gone. Now we seek the Lord to obey him. Okay? Do you know Christ tonight? I'm not going to elongate this. I'm not going to stretch this out. You're smart. You know. God's wise. He's able. He's speaking to you. If you don't know him, you're nervous right now. If you don't know him, you're troubled by these times. If you do know him, but you're not walking with him, you know you should make your recommitment back to Christ. You know it. And if you're walking with him, you know these days are crazy. And here's the great thing about it. When it gets to be a little unsettling, you take a deep breath and you remember, wait a minute, Jesus is on his throne. That's right, this is all in the book. Thank you, God. How are you handling this? You're either in one of three camps tonight. Jesus is your own answer. Jesus is the answer for now and forever. Listen, let's pray real quick. You decide, and that's it. Father, we come tonight, and Lord, the fact that we're looking at this prophecy, just that verse we just ended at could be a verse that could be said on any national security briefing. It could be mentioned on CNN as a modern day fact. Your word anticipates tomorrow's news. And tonight, as we have gathered as a people, we pray now. For those of us who know you, we pray that you'd even come back tonight. We're not perfect, far from it, but your grace will be sufficient, and we look forward to your coming. There may be those tonight that are saying, Jesus, I know you, and I once loved you. It's time for me to start loving you again in obedience. Friend, if that's you, tell him in the silence of your soul, tell him right now that you're a believer coming back to love him now and to follow him. And maybe tonight, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you're someone, you're not a Christian, and I understand you. Your Christian view or your view of Christianity was joining some church, dressing a certain way, giving money, talking a certain way. That is not it. To become a Christian, the word means to follow Jesus, to read his letter, and to go after him. He forgives you of your sins. You know that? Your sex, your drugs, your temper, your anger, your selfishness, your lying. He'll heal you of that. He'll cleanse you of your sins tonight, and he'll put a new heart in you, and you'll start a new life with him. Let's pray together out loud. Dear Lord, we offer our lives to you. Forgive us of our sins. Write our name in the book of life. Because tonight, we proclaim Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Savior of the world, as my Lord and my Savior. Until he comes again, I will follow him by God's grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How Does God Love? Part 2. Thank you so much for being with us today. And you know, deciding to follow Christ will be the best decision you will ever make. That's the truth. How Does God Love? Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, if you haven't made the decision yet to invite Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior, because maybe you've got a few questions, well, we'd love to help you out with that. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. There's a tab there that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, Pastor Jack has a short video for you to watch on what it means to have salvation through Jesus Christ. We're not here by accident, and God loves us so much that he provides a way for us to have a personal relationship with him. There's also a space provided for you to give us your email address in case you still have more questions or you want to leave a comment. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on that tab that says Know God, and you'll find that deciding to follow Christ will give you a peace that passes all understanding. Visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.